Today's daf is Vochim daf Tzadik Vav, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of daf Tzabach Hey Amid Beis Toshma. So the topic of the 11th Perek in Masach Tzvochim, Perek Dam Chatos, are three halachas that are mentioned in Parshas Tzav regarding the Korban Chatos. The Torah says, Dam Chatos Shinite Zalabeged, if dam of a korban chatos, it doesn't matter if it's one of the chatois hachitzoniyos or one of the chatois hapnimiyos, if it lands on a beged, as long as the dam was ra'oi lahazah, as we saw in the Mishnayos and in the Gemaras, the halacha is, the beged requires kibbutz. If a korban chatos was cooked in a keli, says the Torah, if the keli was a kli cheres, yishaver, you have to break the kli cheres. If the keli was a kli nechoshes, you don't have to destroy the keli. Rather, what you need to do is kasher it. And the Torah prescribes a very unique kashering process, a very unique type of hagola. It's what's referred to as merik of the shtifa. It's what's going to be discussed in greater detail in tomorrow's daf. Regardless, the halacha of kibbutz, the halacha of shviras klicheres and merik of the shtifa by kli nechoshes, that is the topic over here in Masechta Zvachim. We saw that the Rishonim discussed, the Ramban and the Chizkuni, that the idea of dam chatas ton kibbutz could be related to one of the psulim that features very prominently in Masechta Zvachim, and that's psul yotze. The Rishonim suggests that it could be the reason the Torah said you have to take out the dam of a beged is because, being that a chatas is kotshi kadashim, and a chatas that Kachi Kadashim's dam cannot leave the Chaymas of the Azara, it can leave the Kloim. If it's going to be Balu and the Beged, and you're going to take the Beged outside of the Kloim, it's going to come out that that dam, even though it's Balua, will be Nifsal B'yotze. So it could be, says the Ramban, and it's a little bit more Mefurish in the Chizkuni, that the Yisoid of Dam Chatas Ton Kibbutz is related to Psul Yotze. We ask, if that's the case, why is it only true for a Karban Chatas? The Mishnah says only a Dam Chatas requires Kibbutz, but Dam of other Karbanas, even Kachi Kedashim doesn't have a din kibbutz. If it's related to a more general psul yotze, the psul yotze of chutz l'kloim relates to all karbanos, not only to the karban chatos. Regardless, that was something that the Rishonim suggested. As it relates to the reason why the Torah said that you have to destroy a kli cheres shen nispashel b'karban chatos, so the reason you need to do merikim shtipa with a kli nechoshes, that a karban chatos was cooked in that, too, is related to a psul. It's not psul yotze, but rather it's psul noisar. And that's not something that only the Rishonim say. That's already before Rishon the Gemara. It was really the last Gemara that we saw yesterday, and it segues into this morning's daf. Meaning, it's mavur in the Gemara that the reason the Torah says that if you cook a karban chatas in a keli, you need to do something with the keli, it's because we know the whole Yeridah is predicated on this premise, and that is that there's something called a belia. And in this context, what the bliya would mean is that if you cook a karban chatas inside a kedera, even though you washed it and you rinsed it and you put it in your dishwasher, maybe dishwasher is different, but you put it in your dishwasher, so right now there's going to be a bliya of the karban chatas inside the defanos of the kedera. Which means that the next time this kedera is subjected to heat, for example, you cook something else in it, that bliya is going to leave the doifen of the kedera, and it's now going to enter the food that you're cooking. Now, a carbon becomes nicer after a certain period of time. In the case of a carbon chatos, it's a yoim v'layla. Which means is that if you're going to cook a carbon chatos and a kedera, and you're not going to do merikah v'shtifa, or in the case of a kli cheres, where you can't kasher a kli cheres, you're not going to destroy the kli cheres, it's going to come out, there's going to be a little bit of nicer. And it's for that reason there's a halacha of shvira, for that reason there's a halacha of merika v'shtifa. What we left off yesterday was an ibaya in the Gemara. The Gemara wanted to know what would be if somebody cooked a carbon chatos inside a kli cheres. Somebody cooked a carbon chatos inside a kli nechoshes, but we know there's no blias. How do you know that? Because it never touched, the food itself never touched the kteir. So for example, you put the food, the basar, the carbon chatos on a kebab, you put it on top of the fire, so it's being cooked, it's being roasted from the heat that's coming out of this tanner and that's coming out of this pot, but at the same time it never touched the pot. So from a blia standpoint, the assumption is there's no blias. What's the shaila? If you assume that the whole tam of shviras klicheres and merikiv shtifa b'klin nechoshes is related to a blia, over here there's no blia. Or do you say that once the Torah said that a klicheres shenespashul by chatas yishover, or a klin nechoshes shenespashul by karben chatas needs merikiv shtifa, it's exeris hakasav even if there's no blias? Meaning it sounds like for for sure the real reason why there's a mitzvah of Shvira, Marika v'Shtifa, is related to the Bliya of Noiser. But the question presumably is that once the Torah said that once Basar Chatas is nispashal in a keli, you need to do something with the keli, maybe even if you found a Heichi Timtza, where there's not physically going to be a Bliya, still the halachas of the Torah are going to apply. So that's the Ibaya that we left off with, says the Gemara Toshma. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabbi Bar Avua. So Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Bar Avua, I'll bring you a raya, a geshmak a raya. Tanur shal mikdash al matchus hoya. The Tanur of the Beis HaMikdash was made out of matchus. Rav Nachman said that he heard from Rabbi Bar Avua that there's a Messiah. Neither Rav Nachman or Rabbi Bar Avua were ever in the Beis HaMikdash. But they said that they had a tradition that the ovens that were used in the Beis HaMikdash were made out of matchas. Now, why would they have used the ovens out of matchas? Presumably, says the Gemara, because there's a halacha that a korban chatos that's cooked inside a kli cheres, you have to destroy the kli cheres. If that's the case, if they would cook it in a tanner that was made out of cheres, they would have to destroy the tanner. It's not very practical. Every time you make dinner, you have to destroy your oven. So presumably, the reason they made it out of matchis was because matchis is like nechoshes. All it needs is marika v'shtifa, so you have the maintenance crew comes and they clean it up. That's not such a big deal. But tainas the Gemara of Esau, gotaytich bishvul. But if you're going to tell me that not every time you cook a korban chatos in a kli cheres, you have to destroy the kli cheres, it's only if the food is physically touching the cheres, but in the event that it's not touching it, but rather you're doing it in the case where it's bishul b'lo bilua, like the case that the Gemara is pondering in its ibaya, na'avit shel cheres, let's just make it out of cheres, which I guess was considered a little bit more practical, not have to make it from matchas. Every time you cook, you're going to have to destroy it. No, you don't. You're cooking in a way where you're going to make sure that the food never touches the tanner. So isn't it a raya that even if the food doesn't touch the tanner, as long as it's cooked, halach is yishaver? But the Gemara says it's not a raya. You want to know why they couldn't make it out of cheres? It had to be made out of matchas. It's not because of the basar chatas. Maybe for the basar chatas, there wouldn't have been an issue. But kiven dekishyari menachos, being that one of the things that they used to bake in the tanner were the shirayim of the mincha, so part of the mincha went on the mizbeach, that was the koimetz, and the rest of it was eaten by the kehanim. So the shiyari menachis, the leftovers, meaning not the koimetz, the part that was eaten by the kehanim, that was baked. Where was it baked? In the tanner. And the way they used to bake bread was they would take the bread and they would line it on the walls of the tanner. That's why there's something called ridia sapas. Ridia sapas is the process of removing the bread from the walls of the tanner. When you take bread out of an oven today, you're not doing ridia sapas because we don't bake bread the way they used to make bread. But it would mean you would literally be peeling it off the walls of the tanner. But the bottom line is, the way they used to make bread, such as the mincha, would be by attaching it to the tanner. So kivin ikishyar menachas tafiyasim betaner ve'ikub bishul ubidua. And in that case, there's bishul and there's bidua of dinu shal matchis. For that reason, they made it for matchis. So maybe the reason it was made for matchis, argues the Gemara, is not because of the basar chatas. Basar chatas, you don't necessarily need the basar to touch the tanner in order to cook the basar. But for the shiari menachas, the way you bake bread, for that you need contact. It's for that reason they had to make it out of matchis. Says the Gemara, hu tanur da atru beitichayo. There was a tanner that was once smeared with fat of an animal. So they took the grease, the fat of an animal, and they smeared the side of the tanner. It was a kosher animal, it was kosher fat, so really there should be no issue. Stating that, Asra Rabba Bar Ahiloi, the Michla the Rifta Loila, Rabba Bar Ahiloi issued a very controversial psak, a psak that has ramifications halacha. He said that you're not allowed to bake bread in this tanner right now. Why not? I'll bake bread. What are you worried about? Because there's some fat of flesh inside of it, so I won't eat it with flesh. I won't eat it together with dairy. It said Rabbi Bar Ilai, I don't care. You can't even dip it into salt. Why? Because he's concerned that bread is usually not fleshik or milchik. Bread is usually parv. So if you're going to have fleshik of bread, there's a chash that you may go ahead and you may eat it with milchik. So that's what Rabbi Bar Ilai said, that this is going to be a problem. And he said that it's asul oilam. Why is it asul oilam? And what does it have to do with our Gemara? Because this tanner was made out of cheres. Being that the tanner was made out of cheres, cheres, there's no way to be mad. And that's one of the themes, one of the takeaways of our sugya. It's for that reason that if you cook a korban chatos in a kli cheres, you shover. You can't do marika, you can't do shtifa, there's no hagala, you have to destroy it. That means there's no option, there's no way out of a cheres. So if there's no way out of a kli cheres that has a bliya, so in our sugya, when there's no, so you have to destroy it. In the case with a tanner, you don't have to destroy it. You want to make meat inside of it, that's okay. But Rabbi Eloi said a chiddush, you can't make lechem, and the reason you can't make bread is because bread is not something that's ordinarily milchix or fleishix. If you're going to have fleishix of bread, there's a very good chance you're going to end up eating it together with milk. It's great to Gemara, but is Rabbi Eloi correct? I'll ask you a kasha from a braisa. You're not allowed to knead dough together with chalav. Meaning you can't make bread with milk in lieu of water. The imloshen, if you do chalav paskul asura, then the bread becomes asur. Meaning you can't just eat it as a dairy bread, as an OUD bread. That's not going to work. Why not? Because again, bread is something that is usually not milchix or fleishix. In this case, you have milchix or bread. What happens if you eat it with fleishix? So that's about kiyotze. By similarly, ain't toshen as a taner ba'alya. You're not allowed to smear a taner with alya. That's meat. The imtosh, and if you do, kala pas asura, the bread becomes asur. That's what Rabbi Bar Eloi said, right? But the end of the price is the problem. But there is a way out. The way out is heat up the taner. When you heat up the taner, you're going to kasha the taner. Oh, you're going to kasha the taner. So now it's going to be okay. So on the one hand, you have a raya to what Rabbi Bar Eloi said from this price. But then again, there's also a tiufta to Rabbi Bar Eloi from this price. You see this concept that you're not allowed to have milchig bread or fleishig bread. Because being that bread is usually parv, it's something that can bring to major problems. So for that reason, it's a problem. But at the same time, Rabbi Bar Eloi said, it's always going to be asr. Because he argued there's no way to kasher kli cheres. Here you have a mefurish b'raisa that says there is a way to kasher kli cheres. Now, first glance, you're going to tell me, Rabbi Bar Eloi is coming from our sugya. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, this is Yeridei 101. There's no way to kasher kli cheres. The Torah says a kli cheres that becomes tameh yishaver, you have to destroy it. We just saw now, basar chatas that was cooked in a kli cheres, you have to destroy it, because there's no way to kasher a kli cheres. This b'raisa, if anything, is all of the onus is on the b'raisa to explain itself, not Rabbi Bar Eloi. So the Gemara is going to come back to that. But for now, the Gemara says, tiufta, the Rabbi Bar Eloi, tiufta. Rabbi Bar Eloi is an amoira. He has no right to argue with a b'raisa. What Rabbi Bar Eloi said is partially true, but it's partially tiufta. Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi. Ravina told Rav Ashi, v'chim yachid yitoyse Rabbi Bar Eloi. Now the Rabbi Bar Eloi's halacha was upgefrekt. We have tiufta, the Rabbi Bar Eloi, tiufta. My amar Rav, kneiris b'pesach, yishaveru. Rav said a halacha, an unrelated psak. This was when Rav was saying Hilchas Pesach bePesach. So he said that if anybody has a kli cheres that he used to cook or bake chametz in, he has to destroy it. There's no way to kasha the kli cheres. At first glance, what Rav was saying was very reasonable. There's no way to kasha the kli cheres. The problem is, Rabbi Bar Eloi said the same exact halacha. He also said there's no way to kasha the kli cheres. And the Gemara said, tiufta the Rabbi Bar Eloi, tiufta, from a braisa. So why is Rav going like this tiufta the Rabbi Bar Eloi, not like the braisa? Now Rav, incidentally, is allowed to argue with the braisa. Rav Tanu Polik, but like it's mavur throughout Shas that Rav Tanu Polik is a bit yevet. It's a last resort. The last option, you're never going to find tiufta the Rav tiufta, and maybe you will, but it'd be a chiddush if you do, because Rav is allowed to argue with the Braisa. But either way, again, the thought is that Rav did not argue with Braises. So argues Tainas the Gemara, Rav is saying that it's not possible to kasher a klicheres, the same tiufta that the Gemara asked in Rabbi Bar Eloi, isn't that a kasher on Rav as well? Amalei Rav, so the Gemara says, Amalei, so he told him, Rav mukila lahi b'shel matchas. Rav is going to say that braisa that the Gemara thought was a tiufta on Rabbi Bar Eloi is really not a tiufta to Rabbi Bar Eloi. That braisa says you could do hagola on a tanner. It was a tanner shel matchas. Who said the tanner was cheres? It doesn't say the word cheres anywhere. So being that it doesn't, it says ain't toshen as a tanner ba'alya. The assumption is most tanurim were made out of cheres. So if it was made out of cheres, it'd be a good kasha. But maybe it wasn't made out of cheres. Maybe it was made out of matkas. And if it was made out of matkas, not a kasha. Obviously, if Rav is not upgefrekt from this braisa, then Rabbi Bar Eloi is also not upgefrekt from this braisa. So the initial reaction that the Gemara had was tufta the Rabbi Bar Eloi, but when the Gemara saw that Rav said the same halacha, then the Gemara took a step back, because I guess it's less mistaber that Rav should be tufta than Rabbi Bar Eloi should be tufta. So the Gemara said, you know what, maybe that braisa is discussing matches. It's not a kasha on Rabbi Bar Eloi, it's not a kasha on Rav either. Iba yaseim b'tanu shel cheres. Maybe the braisa is discussing tanu shel cheres. So again, in the braisa you see there's a way to kasha cheres. How could Rav say there's no way to kasha cheres? A tanner you can kasha. A kedera you can't kasha. Rav's halacha was kedera is bepesach yishaveru. He said a pot there's no way to kasha. A tanner itself, you can. What's the difference? Because a tanner, the heat, the fire that's going to kasher it is going to be inside the tanner. Heat that's inside the tanner can remove the blios, it can be magal, it can kasher the blios that are inside the tfanos of the tanner. Whereas a k'teira, when you heat up the k'teira, you kasher, you're not putting the heat inside the k'teira. It's going to be outside of the k'teira. Being that it's going to be on the outside of the k'teira, hesekei mibachutz is not a hagala, hesekei mibifnim is a hagala. Rabbi Bar Yiloi was also discussing the tanner. He was discussing the same halacha of the b'raisa. And Rabbi Bar Yiloi said that the tanner that you smear the basar into, you never allow to use. Why can't you use it? The Brisa said you could kasher. And Rabbi Bar Yiloi is discussing the same tanner that the Brisa is discussing. So make a seker b'bifnim and you're going to have a hagola. So Rabbi Bar Yiloi is yufta, but Rabbi was discussing a k'teira. K'teira is a seker b'bachutz. By a k'teira, even the Brisa would agree there's no way to be magal. It says the Gemara, v'ibay yaseim, or you fake the Gemara, v'navid ha'saker b'bifnim. So fake the Gemara, why can't you heat up, and why can't you kasher a k'teira mibifnim? Meaning you're saying a tanner is a seki mibifnim, a k'teira is a seki mibachotz. Doesn't have to be that way. You can't be magal a k'teira mibifnim. So the Gemara says you could, but chaya salayu the mitfari. But Rav didn't want to rely on that, because Rav understood that most people, it's a very dangerous, don't try this at home. Because if you're going to try to be magal a k'teira by putting a fire inside of it, there's a good chance it's going to break. The average man will not do that. He's going to end up doing it the wrong way. So Rav wasn't comfortable. Rav said, Yishaveru. Based on the raw technical halacha, yeah, there is a way to be magal k'teira shel cheres, just like a tanner shel cheres. Because nothing unique about the tanner over the k'teira, other than one is a seikim b'fnim, the other is a seikim b'chutz. So do the k'teira seikim b'fnim. But Rav was afraid that it was something that wasn't going to work. So the Gemara says, Hilka chai kuvya, this was some implement that people used to use to sometimes bake bread. Haseikim b'chutz uva awesome. That's something that was a seikim b'chutz, and as a result, it's going to be awesome. Meaning a tanner we know is a seikim b'fnim. A k'teira is ordinarily a seikim b'chutz. What about this kuvya? So the Gemara says you should know it's a seikim b'chutz, and as a result, it's going to be awesome. Freak the Gemara kasha. If this is the case, and listen to a kasha, el k'teira shel mikdash amayi shaveru. So we just said that we thought all along that it's impossible to do hagola on a kli cheres. Till zvachin tzadikei amibes, it sounds like that's very much the case. Stating that, we realized now we were making a mistake all these years. Because really, you could be magal cheres. As long as it's hesekim b'fnim, you heat it up from the inside, whatever exactly that means. But as long as it's hesekim b'fnim, it's something that's possible. A tanner, for sure you could be magal. It's a mefurish of raisa. And even a k'teira, Rav just wasn't comfortable issuing such a psak for the masses, because he said the average man is going to be uncomfortable, push comes to shove, to do it the right way. He's going to do it the wrong way, and it's going to be a terrible takala. But in theory, it's something that's very much possible. If that's the case, Tainas the Gemara, why is it that a Kli Cheresh and a special Beichatas Talach is Yishaveru? Why do you have to break it? We started off this morning with a 5-minute introduction saying that the reason why there's a Din Shvira by Kli Cheresh and a special Beichatas, and there's a Din Merika Vestifa by a Kli Necheshes or a Kli Matches and a special Beichatas, it's based on the Blia. A Kli Cheresh you have to destroy because there's no way to kasher a Kli Cheresh. One second, there is a way to kasher a Kli Cheresh. How? Hesekim Mibifnim. Okay, so you're going to tell me Duma Chayesle. But the Gemara says, in the Beis HaMikdash, Kayanim's Rizenheim, maybe it shouldn't be such an issue. And in fact, the Gemara has a patent of how you should do it. Says the Gemara, El K'teirish HaMikdash HaMa Yishaver. Why do you have to destroy the K'teirish in the Beis HaMikdash? What's the Kasha? Nehajrinu L'Kifshon Nois. Why can't we put them back into the Kifshon? This Kifshon is the oven or this Keli, this piece of equipment that's used to create the Kli Cheres in the first place. If you put it back into that Keli, the assumption is two things. Number one, it's going to be a Seikim Mibifim. And number two, there isn't such a concern that it's going to be destroyed. So I guess to tell the man on the street to go be magul your kelim in the kifshon before Pesach, Rav didn't like that either. So Rav said Yishaveru, but in the Beis HaMikdash, where we're going to start destroying, it's going to be Yontif and the Vachin, with all these Kli Cheresses that we have to get rid of. Why? Why do you have to get rid of all the Kli Cheresses? In theory, there's a way out. The way out is Hasekim Mibifnim, and the Gemara says, I actually have a practical way out. Let's just make a kifshon. You don't have to be worried of duma chayas allow the mitvari, because this is going to work. So just have a big commercial kifshan in the azara, and every time you cook a klichera, stick it back in the kifshan. It's going to be hasekim b'vnim. And shouldn't that work? Amar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira said, it's not practical. It doesn't work because it was actually from the Takanas Ezra. If you see in the Masoret Tashas, Bavakama Pei Beis Amid Beis, which discusses the Takanas that Yeshua Ben Nun made, right? Certain things that you have to observe in Eretz Yisrael, and certain things that Ezra implemented as well. This is one of them. You don't make such a, you can't have such a kifshan in Yerushalayim, let alone in the Azor and the Harabayis. So as a result, this wasn't an option. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, "V'chi oisin ashpasos ba'azor." He said, "I hear. You don't make a kifshan in Yerushalayim. Good point. But let me ask you something else. How about an ashpa? How about a garbage dump? Right? All these shivrei klicheres, all these klicheres that are being destroyed, you're going to gather them. There's going to be a pile of it somewhere, and that's something that you do make in the Azor." So the Gemara says, "Ishtamitzei hadatani." Abaya asked the good kasha. But he forgot a brisa. Oh, the Tani Shmaya, the Kalma Shmaya of Shmaya and Aftalian fame, was once in Kalmaboy, and he said the following memra, Shivrei Klicheres Nevlam Bimkoim. He said there was a nest that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, that all the Shivrei Klicheres, they'd be swallowed up in the ground. Oh, they'd be swallowed up in the ground. You didn't have to have an Ashva. So that was a moot point. So to put it in a Kivshon, Ein Oysen Kivshon Ois B'Yerushalayim. You're worried about the Shivrei Klicheres, they were swallowed. So but the Gemara asks one more kasha. Elo Hadam Rav Nachman Abba Rabba Ravu, Atana Shal Mikdash, Shal Matches HaYavu. Going back to what we started the daf with, that the Tanner in the Beis HaMikdash was made out of matches. Why couldn't it be made out of cheres? So the Gemara said, because of this halacha of Yishover. What's the problem? Why do you have to break it? L'chura, there's a way to be magalit. Hesekoy mi bifnim. And the avid cheres hesekoy mi bifnim. So the Gemara says, kibin ikar shtei alechem lechem aponim dafiyosan b'tanur. Being that you had the shtei alechem, the lechem aponim, which were baked in the tanur, v'kdushosan b'tanur. But they weren't just baked in the tanur. They had to be neskadish from the tanner, have a klishare, so it comes out, then the tanner served the dual purpose. It served the purpose of a klishare as well. The klishare is the cheres loyavina. And there's a rule that you can't make a klishare out of cheres. I feel Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, says Rashi, sukkah daftunam and beis, that says that you're allowed to make klishare out of eights, like Kamer El the Eitz. That's true. Aval the Cheres loy, but Cheres not. As a result, there was no way to make the Tanner out of the Kli Cheres exhale. So really, what came out of this Gemara is a very big Kiddush. What came out of the Gemara is that we always thought that there's no way to be Magal Cheres. It's not true. There's a whole sugi here in Shas where it comes out that really you could do Agala in a Kli Cheres. What you need is that it should be Hesekim Yibifnim. And as long as it's Hesekim Yibifnim, that would constitute Agala, which for a Tanner is easy. You just heat up the tanner, and it's going to be a seikim ibifnim, where you're going to end up with this hagala. Kedera is a little bit more complicated, and the truth is that the average person will be afraid to take a cheres and do hasekim ibifnim. Why? The chayus alad mitzvari, because he's afraid that it may end up breaking. But in theory, it's something that could be done. And not just that, there actually is a practical way to do it, to put it back into the kifshon that originally created this keli. And if you do that, it's going to be okay. But the Gemara I had an issue with, and the reason it's here in Masechet Zevachim, specifically in Perek Dam Chatos, is that the Torah says a halacha that if you cook a chatos in a klicheres, you have to destroy the klicheres. What do you have to destroy it for? It doesn't make any sense. If it's a tanner, you certainly shouldn't have to destroy it. A tanner is so easy to be magal. You can go ahead and do hasekim mibifnim. And even if it's a kdeira, even a regular pot, shouldn't be a problem. Why? Because just put it back into the kivshan. So the Gemara said, as it relates to the tanner going backwards, the reason that's not a teretz is because the tanner served multiple purposes. The tanner served the purpose of just baking whatever needed to be baked, or cooking whatever needed to be cooked, but at the same time, it also had to be a klisharis, and a klisharis can't be made out of cheres, because even the biggest maker when it comes to klisharis is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and he said it can be made out of eights. But to make it out of cheres, for sure not. You can't make it out of cheres. I mean that you can't make it out of cheres, there's no way to make the tanner out of cheres. But in theory, maybe they could have made the tanner out of cheres. And certainly, the reason they didn't make the tanner out of cheres is not related to this halacha of Yishavah. You don't have to break it. Because even if it were out of a bliya of a carbon chattas, there'd be a way to kasher it. What about the Dictators, why can't you make a kifshan? So the Gemara says, Shainois and kifshan is Yerushalayim. But Enochanami, the Gemara is saying, in theory, you could have made it out of klicheres, and instead of breaking it, you could have destroyed it. The obvious kasha is that when the Torah says that a klicheres and a special bechat is yeshover, isn't it a mitzvah in the Torah? Why does the Torah say yeshover? The Torah says yeshover to get rid of the bliya. Meaning, of course, the reason is to get rid of the bliya. But at the end of the day, the Torah says that once you cook the basar chatas and the klicheres, there's a mitzvah of shvira. Torah. And you would think the mitzvah of Shvira is like any other mitzvah in the Torah. It's a mitzvah to put on tefillin and to say Kriya Shema. There's a mitzvah to break the Kli Charis. It's a mitzvah. It's not just a prabah. It's not just a way of getting rid of the bliya. I mean, the reason the Torah said Yishaver is because of the bliya. But now that the Torah said Yishaver, there's a mitzvah shvira. So even if you have a way out, so good. The income mekoymai. But before we go weiter, just two ha'aras. The first ta'ara is a kushya nefla that the placey. Bienis and Ibishitz in the Sefer Gracie of Placey in Yeridea, this is a Yeridea topic, asks. It's a gewaldige kasha. There's an obvious hole in the kasha, but the kasha is so geschmack that it's worth speaking out. And just a little bit of a hakdama, and really an important hakdama. So we've been discussing three halachas. We've been discussing the halacha of kibus, of a beged, shenite zoleh adam chatas. We've been discussing the halacha of a klicheresh and a special bechatas, where the Torah says yishaver. And we've been discussing the halacha of a klinechoshes, or a klimatkes, as we saw in the Gemara, shen a special bechar mechatas, where there's a mitzvah of merika v'shtifa. The Mishnah said mefurish on daf tzad gimel amid beis, that the halacha of dam chatas ton kibbutz is only true by kar mechatas. That halacha is not true b'shar karbonis. That was a mefurish of Mishnah. Additionally, the Mishnah said mefurish on daf tzadik heyamid beis that the halacha of merika v'shtifa by a klin achoshes is true for echad kachim, the echad kachim kalim. Reb Shimon holds kachim kalim not, but it's certainly not exclusive to karban chatas. It's a mefurish Mishnah. So, according to the Chachamim, it's for sure that dam chatas ton kibbutz is only true by a chatas, and klin achoshes ton merika v'shtifa is true by all kachim, even by kachim kalim. What the Mishnah never discussed is what about the halacha of shviras kli cheres? This idea that a kli cheres and a special boy chatas, is that only true by a carbon chatas that there's a din shvira, or is that going to be true by shar karbonos as well? And the halacha to machlokes rishonim. Rashi in the Mishnah and daf tzad gimel amid beis, and Rashi in Chumash as well says mefurish that it's going to be true for shar karbonos as well. Meaning even shar karbonos, not only a carbon chatas, is going to have the halacha of shvira, meaning just like this marika b'shtifa b'shar karbonis, so too the shvira b'shar karbonis. Dam chatas ton kibbutz is one halacha. Shvira's klicheres and marika b'shtifa b'klinachayish is another halacha. And although the Mishnah never said mefurish what the halacha is, shar kachin klicheres ton shvira ain't ton shvira, but the Mishnah said marika b'shtifa b'klinachayish, and therefore it makes sense zulbasar taima. The same is going to be true by klicheres. Same that the Rambam argues. The Rambam says clearly that the halach of Shviras Klicheres is true only for Karban Chatos. It's not going to be true for Shar Karbonis. And this Rambam is very, very schwer. And if you go through the Gemaras, you're going to find obvious kashas on the Rambam. And the Achrenim discussed this Rambam in great detail. But the Placey in Yerideya, it's in Simin Kuf Gimel, asks a gewaldige kasha. And again, just speaking out the kasha because it's a geschmacki kasha. And it just goes to show that, you know, sometimes even from a Haggadah to Gemara, you can take out a Dover Niflo. And this is a Gemara that we've spoken about here in Masechtas Vachon. It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Tainis from all places, Daf Yud Tes Amid Aleph, and the Gemara discusses it in greater detail in Daf Chav Gimel Amid Aleph. The context over there is the Tanesim that the Chachamim were geyser in the event that it hadn't rained. So we're all familiar with Chayni HaMagel. Chayni HaMagel is of Masechtas Tainis fame, and the Mishnah over there tells a story that once upon a time, the winter had passed, Rav of Chodesh Adar had already passed, and it still hadn't rained. And they finally went to the big Mekubal, the big Tzadik, Chayni HaMagel, and they told Chayni HaMagel, his spalo sheyer dukshan, and daven, that it should rain. I'm on the hand. So Chayni HaMagel told the Yidin, I'm going to go daven. But before I daven, prepare for rain. It's not just going to rain. It's going to be Gishmei Brucha. He told him, Tzu v'echnisu tanure psachim. Take the ovens that you used to use to bake the carbon Pesach, bring it inside. Because if it's going to be outside, it's going to melt. Also, what did he do? Everyone knows what he did. He made a circle, and he stood inside the circle, and he told Hashem that I'm not leaving this circle. It started raining a little bit. It wasn't enough. Then it rained too hard. I want Gishmei Brocha, and the rest is history. Zok Rashi, why did Chayni HaMagel told the Yidden to take the tanurim, your ovens, and bring it inside? So Rashi says, very simple, shal cheres, because they were made out of cheres. And being that they were made out of cheres, they would have melted from all the rain. So that's what Chayni HaMagel was telling you. I mean, if they were made out of matches, there wouldn't have been an issue, because matches is not going to melt from rain. But cheres can melt from rain. As a result, he took it inside. It says, Rienes and Aibashitz, it comes out in this Rashi, and really that's Pashim Shana in the Gemara, that the tanurim that were used to make the carbon Pesach were made out of cheres. Freight Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz, I don't understand. How could they have made it out of cheres? L'chura, when they make the car, they roast the carbon pesach inside the tanner, blios of the carbon pesach are going to now go into the walls of the tanner. If they're going to go into the walls of the tanner, you're going to have blios of noisa. One of the two times the Torah mentions the lab of noisa is by the carbon pesach. Of course, you have noisa by the carbon pesach. So you're now going to have blios inside. If you're going to have blios inside, Frank Yenison and Ibish is not going to be able to use it again. And incidentally, Yenison says, I know for sure that they used to reuse the tanurim. They didn't just destroy the tanurim. Because this happened in Chodesh Adar, and everyone had the tanurim outside. He says, why'd they have the tanurim outside in Chodesh Adar? You know, it's already so close to pesach that everybody had the tanurim. Says presumably they had it from last year. So if they had the tanurim from last year, hadn't been using the tanner. Why aren't you worried about the bliyos? Why aren't you worried about the bliyos? Says Rabbi Yenish and Ibish. You know it's a raya. It's a raya to the Rambam Shita that the only time there's a halach of shviras kli cheres when you cook a carbon is only if it's the carbon chatos. But shav carbonos such as the carbon pesach you don't have to worry about, because if it's true like Rashi and most Rishonim say that just like Marika the shtifa is not unique to the carbon chatos, true for all kachim. So to shviras kli cheres is true for all kachim as well. Then shouldn't there have been a din shvira? Elamites right to the Rambam. There was no din shvira. So they used this tana for the carbon pesach and they had no chiv to break the carbon pesach. So says Rabbi Yonah said, even though this Rambam is so shver and there's so many kashas on the Rambam, it could be the Rambam got his halacha from a Gemara Masech this tainis daf yud tes amara. What's the problem? What's the kasha? Oh, I hear. So maybe they roasted it. Kasha, maybe they weren't comfortable with that. But there's even a bigger problem. This is all the Havamina of the Gemara. The Gemara and the Havamina thought that there's no way to do Hagala with a Klicheres. And it's for that reason they made sure that the Tanner in the Beis HaMikdash was laid out of Matches, because if it would have been out of Cheres, you would have had to destroy the Tanner. But the Gemara came out of the Maskon, it's not true. There's a very easy way to do Hagala on a Tanner. It's a Sekim Mibifnim. A Kter is more complicated, but when it comes, and even for that there's an Eitzah. But when it comes to a Tanner, it's not a problem. Why then did they used to make the tanner the Beis HaMikdash out of matches? Not because of noisa, not because of this issue of shviras klicheres. It was simply based on the fact that the tanner had to serve a dual purpose. It was also a klishares and a noisa klishares shalcheres. But this is all good kasha and the havamina of the Gemara. Meaning the havamina of the Gemara, you have a raya to the Rambam, but you can't bring a raya to a Rambam from a havamina of the Gemara. But the truth is that we learned this Gemara. You know, we took the simplest route. It's in terms of the Daf Yomi Mahalach of this Gemara. But if you mind in Rishonim, Rashi on the top of the Amud, that Tzabek Vav and Aleph, there's a Tosfos, the Masechta Zavah Gezara, Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph. It's really a big discussion in the Rishonim exactly how to learn the Gemara. And according to some Shitas of Rishonim, Kasha definitely stands. Either way, it's a fest Ara. What's interesting, this is the second Ha'ara, the second interesting Zvachim Ha'ara that we took out of this Gemara. What was the first one? First one was that after it finally rained, Sechani Amagel told the Olam to bring a Parshal Hoidah. Said, bring a Parshal Hoidah. What was this Parshal Hoidah? So Rashi says that a par that to be misvada on the par. Hoidah is Milosh and Vidoy. But the Shagis Aryeh in his Gvur Sari, right here, Masechtas Tainis, says, you know what the Parshal Hoidah was? It was a carbon Toidah. And even though Arba Tzrichim Lahoidahs, and this is not one of the four, but says the Shagis Aryeh, people make a mistake. People think it's only those four. It's not only those four. Really, every person that's Nitzel from a Tzara, I'll call Tzara Shaloi Tavoy, has to bring a carbon Toidah. So says the Shagis Aryeh, Ein lecha tzara gedoyla mizu, sheyatzu roi v'adar v'lo yardu g'shamim. So it's poshut that the Parsha Leida was a carbon toida. We spoke at the time, the Rabbeinu B'chaya says in the Parsha Sav, he says that the Chasson Kala used to bring a carbon toida back in the day, maybe Kasha Lezavkin could create the answer, but either way, the Chasson Kala used to bring a carbon toida. So two gewaldige halachis that come out, tucked away, here in Masechtas Tainis, and a ma'isa with Chayni Amagel. So the story of Chayni Amagel is a beautiful story. And there's a lot of musa that you can take out of it, a lot of nice drushes that you can take out of the story of Chayni Amagel. But here you have two festa halachas. What are the halachas? Number one, maybe a makar to the Rambam Shita. Right? It's not usually what you think of when you go through that Gemara, but it could be a makar to the Rambam Shita. That the halach of Basar Chatas, Shenizbashu B'Klicheres, that there's a mitzvah of Shvira, it's Tafka the Karba Chatas, not Shar Kachem, not like Rashi and Zvachim Tzadigim Lamabez, Rashi Alatayra Parshas Sav. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that when we say Dalit Tzricha Mahoides, Klav Dafka Dalit. Dalit are, these are just the four examples of Tzaros, Shaloi Tavoi, that if a person is Nitzel from such a Tzara, he should bring a carbon Taida. But the truth is that I'll call Tzara Shaloi Tavoi, there is an idea of bringing a carbon Taida. That's the first Tzara. The second Tzara is that the Gemara mentioned that there was a tremendous miracle that happened. So the Yidden would break, they would destroy these Kederis that were made out of Cheres. And what happened to the Cheres? They would get swallowed up in the ground. Tani Shmaya be Kalnabai. Shmaya once darshan in Kalnabai. He said, Shivrei kli cheres nevlohim bimkoim. Rabbeinu Bachya, also known as Rabbeinu Bachaya, in Parshas Tzav, on this halacha right here, quotes this chazal. And he says as follows, V'darshu chazal, Shehoyu acharosim nevlohim bekarka azara. She'im loikei, hoysu azara kulu mismal acharosim. I guess this, there were so many klicheris that were used. So had this not been the case, it would have been impossible. They would have had to make an ashpa in oisin ashpasis bazar, like the Gemara said. So this was a miracle that almost had to happen. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, v'hoyezeh mishmoyna osor nisim shenasei mikdash. This is one of the 18 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya goes and he lists exactly what the 18 miracles were. Now, we're familiar with the 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Asara Nisan Nasu Labiseinu Beis HaMikdash. Lohi Pili Isham Reach Psara Kodesh. Vloi Hisriach Psara Kodesh Meyoylan. Vloi Niris Vav Beis HaMit Bechai. Vloi Yir Keri Lekoy Gold Be Mekipurim. Etc. etc. Rabbeinu Bachya has a new list. He said, this is one of the 18 miracles that used to happen in the Beis HaMikdash. And when he goes to his 18, he says, the 10 that I mentioned in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And then he works out exactly what the other 8 were. Interesting. So now you know the rest of the story. It wasn't just 10 miracles that happened. But it was actually 18 miracles that happened. Kemis Brachai, and this is one of the 18, Jewish number, this is one of the 18 that happened. The question is, why does the Mishnah mention 10? If it was really 18, why does the Mishnah say, Asar Nisim Lavi Seinu Beveis HaMikdash? So I think the Tosfos Yontif was bothered with this kasha. If you take a look at the Tosfos Yontif, Asar Nisim Nasu Lavi Seinu Beveis HaMikdash, this is Pirkei Avos, Perikei, Mishnah. Says the Tosfos Yontif, Asar Nisim, V'kamani Luhu, Delei Remizu Bekra Klav. Says the Tosfos Yontif that the Tanya of the Mishnah is about to mention 10 miracles that have no remez anywhere in the Torah. No remez anywhere in the Pasuk. L'chura, the Tosfos Yontif was bothered with this kasha. Only 10 miracles? What, there weren't any other miracles? What happened to our Gemara right here? Zvachim Tzadik Vavim and Aleph. Like Rabbeinu Bachya says, I have another 8. I have Yud Ches. Says the Tosfos Yontif, there must be something unique about this group. So I'll tell you what's unique about this group. What's unique about this group is that these are all things that are not merumez anywhere in the Torah. Kamanilu delay remizu. Not only are they not mefurish in the Torah, there's no remez to these in the Torah at all. And I'll tell you something interesting. It's yadua that the Vilna Gaon wrote a pirish on Pirkei Avos. And the Gaon's pirish on Pirkei Avos is very unique. It's unique in the sense that rather than it being a commentary, like the Vilna Gaon wrote on Mishlei, for example, what it is, it's the Vilna Gaon brings sources from Psukim in the Torah to the respective Mishnah. So the Mishnah says a halacha, and the Vilna Gaon traces the halacha back to a pasuk. So it's less like the Vilna Gaon on Mishlei, just as an example. It's more like the Bir HaGra on Shulchan Aruch. So the Bir HaGra on Shulchan Aruch finds Mekairis from Gemaras to halachas and Shulchan Aruch. So the Pirish HaGra on Pirkei Avos is finding Mekairis from Psukim in the Torah to the Mishnayos and Avos. The Gaon said that the Bir HaDvarim is because Rashi brings above a comma that Beis Amid Aleph Avos Chshiva Lahanidich the Mefurish Bekra Avos Mechal Beikah told us and Avos Arbavos Hazikin. That's why it's above a comma that Beis, or you have the Lamed Tes Avos Malachis. What makes something an Av and something a Tolda? So anyone that learned that Beis Amid Aleph from above a comma knows that anything that's Mefurish in the Torah is called an Av. Something that's not Mefurish in the Torah is called a Tolda. So said the Gaon, this is classic Vilna Gaon. He said that Pirkei Avos, Avos means it's Mefurish in the Torah. So if Avos means that it's Mefurish in the Torah, if Avos means it's Mefurish in the Torah, so that's why it's called Pirkei Avos, and that's why the Gra took upon this Avodas HaKodesh to find sources for Psukim and the Torah to all the Mishnayos and Avos. But has it shown with the Tosfos Yontif? Tosfos Yontif said that what's unique about the Asara Nisim Shenasa Laviseinu is Kamanu Lehudalei Remizu Bekra Klal. I think it's a Gishmak Ara. But the truth is, if you look in the Gra's Pirish, I had it with me, it disappeared somehow. Maybe it was Nivlup, I don't know where it is. But so I had it before. But so the Gaon says that Someone took my guy in. So, no, so the guy in, but if you look at the gross Pirishon, it's probably right in front of me. I just need another coffee. No, but so anyways, so the guy, it says it is in his Pirish on Avos. If you go through the Asara Nisim, the guy doesn't say anything. He has no Bekeris. It's amazing. Except for two. The last two. The last two that I mentioned in the Mishnah are Vayhizik Nachash the Akra B'Yushalayim Yailan. That's miracle number 9. And miracle number 10 is Vayhizik Amar Adam L'Chaveroi Tzar Li HaMokim Shalom B'Yushalayim. So a Nachash was never Mazik in Yerushalayim. Additionally, a person was never Imbakveit. Right? I hope I got that word right. Last time I said a fancy Yiddish word, Maya called me out on it. So, but either way, so those two things. So the other guy says, I have a makar. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. The Beis HaMikdash was Klilas Yoifi Mesois Kol Ha'aretz, the happiest place in the world. And being that it's such a happy place, so it can't be that a Nazik was ever Mazik. Because if a Nachash was Mazik, that's a contradiction to it being Klilas Yoifi Mesois Kol Ha'aretz. It can't be that a person said Tzar Li HaMokoim. Because again, if it's such a happy Gishmakas place, then it doesn't make sense. But either, those are the only two that the guy brings the Makar to. We spoke this out once. We spoke about it in Masech Tzavay Dezara when we learned the halach of Mayim Megulin. Mayim Megulin is related to a Nachash. The Chida brings a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says the halach of Megulin, the Isra Megulin applies Bein Ba'aretz or Bein B'chutz La'aretz. And the Chida in his Birkei Yosef brings from the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash said, why would you have a Havamina that Megulin should be only in Chutz La'aretz and not in Eretz Yisrael? Said the Pri Chadash based on this Mishnah. Half of a fella. Because the Mishnah says, what's the chash? Mayim Megulim, that a Nachash might be Matul Eres into the Mayim. So could I Chamino, that being that the Mishnah said, Vayhizik Nachash Va'akrib Yishalayim Yoylon, so maybe you don't have to worry about it. Maybe there should be no Mayim Megulim. Kamash Malon, Ain't Saim Chanal Anes. Right? One of the 10 miracles is like Ira Keri, Kayin Gadab Yem Kippur Miyoylon. And Yerushalmi asked, if that's the case, how do you understand the first Mishnah Mesachas Yuma? Why'd they have to prepare a backup Kayin? Right? You need a backup Kayin Gadol. I thought Kayin Gadol never became Tomei. Maybe he's going to be Tomei. It never happened. So Yerushalmi says, the first heretz Yerushalmi says is Ein Tzayim Chanal Nes. The second heretz is Minyan Adiyayma, like Kasha. One is Bayis Rishon, one is Bayis Sheni. But regardless, says the Chida B'Shem the Pri Chadash, that's why the Yerushalmi said that the halach of Megulin applies even in Eretz Yisrael, because I would have thought like Hizik Nachash V'Akrib Yerushalayim Yoyla. But the bottom line is, if you go through the Goyin doesn't bring Mekairis. The only two he brings is for these last two. Regardless, that's the Tosiyont of Sa'ara, that what's unique about these 10 miracles here that are mentioned by the Mishnah Novice is that these are not Remizu Bikra. I thought the Vilna Goyin said Avos means things that are Mefurish Bikra, and that's the whole Gra and Avos. It's interesting, the Gra Taka is not Mefarish these miracles, with the exception of the last two. Either way, just some food for thought. So, the Gemara, right, and the next Gemara is a classic. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, have a Ragel Kameh, Rami Bar Chama. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda used to go to Rami Bar Chama Shir. Shafke, one day, he stopped showing up. And instead of going to Rami Bar Chama, he went instead to Rav Sheishes. One day, Rami Bar Chama met Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda. And I guess he was a little disappointed at his Talmud, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, for leaving him and instead going to Rav Sheishes. Amale, so he told him, Al kafta nachta recha osila liyad. It's an expression that means that someone that's a Balgaiva thinks that if he hangs out with important people, it somehow makes him important. The nimshal was, Rami Bar Chama told Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, Mishum da ozlus lach lekami de Rav Sheishes, hava lach ki Rav Sheishes. Meaning, I know Rav Sheishes is very, very great, but it doesn't mean that you're great because you learned by Rav Sheishes. Interesting. So he said, yeah, he's gewaldig, but you have to learn in a place that's appropriate for you. So don't think that because you're learning by Rav Sheishes, that reflects on you. Amalei, he told, la mishum hachi. The reason I went to Rav Sheishes is not because I want to walk around saying that I'm learning by Rav Sheishes. I understand, that's not what this is about. I went to Rav Sheishes because I actually enjoy learning by Rav Sheishes more than I enjoy learning by the Rebbe Rami Bar Chama. I said, why? He says, Mar, because you Rami Bar Chama, ki be'ina milsa, if I ask you a question, pashli misvara. You always have an answer, but it's always a svara. Ki mashkach de maschisa. Let's say I find a Mishnah or a Braisa that's not like your svara. Nu, parchalas. That's a problem. Because you can't, as an Amora, argue with a Mishnah or a Brice. Rav Sheshe is, whenever I go to Rav Sheshe, I ask him a kasha, kibina milsamine pashali mi masnisa. He always proves it to me from a Mishnah or a Brice. So the chinami mashkach mi masnisa. So if I go then and I find another Mishnah or a Brice that's not like Rav Sheshe, uparcha masnisa masnisa. He ends up being a Brice against the Brice. So that's not a problem. I mean, you Rami Bar Chama, I never know if it's the right answer. Because apparently Rami Bar Chama didn't have the same bekiyas that Rav Sheshe said. So Rami Bar Chama was a Baal Svara. So Rabbi Yitzchak, by Yehuda, tells him, he says, I asked you a kasha, you tell me a svara, I walk out feeling great until somebody tells me, but it's not like a brisa. But Rav Sheshes, being that it always comes from a Mishnah or a brisa, because his mahalach and learning is more based on bekiyas. Oh, so it's based on bekiyas, even if, say, he's never up to fret. So I feel like I walk away with more, and it's for that reason. Amalei, so Rabbi Bachama told Yitzchak Bar Abba, really, boy, minoy milsa, ask me a kasha, you think I can't answer you from Mishnayas and from brisas? Watch. Ask me a kasha, divshalach kimas isa, and I'll be pushing you from a brisa. Boy, minay. So he asked him the following question. If somebody cooks a carbon chatas, and that's why this is an hour sugya, in a little bit of a keli. He didn't use the whole keli. He just cooked used a little bit of the keli. Tom Marika Vishtifa, ain't it? It was a clean of chayshes. There's a dim Marika Vishtifa. Do you have to do Marika Vishtifa on the entire keli? Or not. Meaning, of course, you have to do a little bit. But the question is, that part that was cooked. But you have to do Marika Vishtifa on the entire keli. Amalei told him, ain't it? You don't have to. Meaning the Haviyaza? Just like a hazah. What happens if dam chatas goes on a baguette? So you have to wash the baguette. But if it only went a little part of the baguette, you only have to wash that little part. So Rabbi Bachama said, in Svara, I don't see why it should be any different than dam chatas. Dam chatas, you only have to take out the dam. You don't have to wash the entire baguette. So when it comes to Marika Vishtifa, it's going to be the same thing. But Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda told him, I have a brisa not like that. Meaning, I don't know of a brisa like that. I don't know of a brisa like that. Amalei said, oh, Mishtabra, I hear. But again, Rabbi Bachama, it's a Svara. He said, kebaguette. Shouldn't it be like a baguette? Ma, baguette ain't toying, keep it alone. Just a bag, you only have to be mechabes to makam adam. Anytime you give a shdiva, elv makam bishul. It sounds like you only have to wash that part. Amalei told him, "Me dummy, I could argue in svar, not that way. Dam way mefafeya bishul mefafeya. If you a little bit of dam goes on a baguette, the dam doesn't spread throughout the baguette. But if a little bit of a blia goes into the doifen of the kedera, it's going to spread within the walls of the kedera. So how can you draw an analogy between dam and a baguette and cooking basar in a pot? But oy, then here's the punchline, Rabbi Yitzchak. By Yehuda told him, Tanya, you're not like a Braisa. The Braisa says, Chaymer Bazal Mim Rika Vishtifa, Chaymer Rika Vishtifa Bazal. You find the Chumrah that Hazal has over Rika Vishtifa, and the Chumrah that Rika Vishtifa has over Hazal. Chaymer Hazal has a Chumrah Shazal, Yeshna Bechatos, Achitzayz, Bechatos, Pnimis. The Halach of Dam Chatos, in this Alabegaton, keep us is true, whether it's a Chatos Chitzayn, whether it's a Chatos Pnim. Fieshna Lifnez Rika, and it's true, Lifnez Rika. Precisely Lifnez Rika. It has to be Roy Lazal. Masha Ekim Bimrika Vishtifa, as opposed to by Marika Vishtifa. There's no Marika Vishtifa by Chatos Apnimis, and there's no Marika Vishtifa Lifnei Zrika. And they're both for the same reason. Because the only time you have Marika Vishtifa is if you cook basa that's Roy Lachila. The Chatois HaPnimis were Paramanastrophin. They weren't Nechal. So obviously you don't have this Halach of Shriyas Gilcheres. Lifnei Zrika, even for a Chatos that was born in Mizbech HaChitzon, you're not allowed to eat. You never let it eat basa Lifnei Zrika. Zrika is Mechapa, Zrika is also Mata. So therefore you have a Chumrah in Dam Chatos Ala Beged over basa Chatos with regards to the Chatois HaPnimis and Lifnei Zrika. And then the Brisa continues and says, "There's a chumrah Marika Vishtifa over dam chatoshin tzalabegah." Shem Marika Vishtifa noyheges mein bekatcha gedashim im kachim kal. Because Marika Vishtifa you have by kachim gedashim kachim kal. That's a mishnah. Be additionally, be shall be mikzas akli ton Marika Vishtifa on kol akli. You need to do Marika Vishtifa on the entire kli. Masha ekim ba'azos. That's a first Brisa. What was the second chumrah? Marika Vishtifa, you need on the entire kli, even if you only mevashel the mixes of the kli, as opposed to by a beged. You only have to be mechabes the makam a beged. You see, not like you, Rami Bar Chama. It's a mefuri. What's the svar? The svar is like we said, dam lo mefafeya, as opposed to the bli as mefafeya. But the bottom line is, so they're having a conversation about Rami Bar Chama sometimes not being cognizant of a brisa, and literally in that same conversation, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda was able to show Rami Bar Chama why he left Rami Bar Chama and instead went to learn by Rav Sheshes. So what did Rami Bar Chama respond? Amalei told him, "Itanya, Tanya, I hear. If it's a brisa, it's a brisa. V'tamamai, why is it different? Meaning, why by the dam is it only the makam hadam they have to be mechabes as opposed to by the Marika Vishtifa?" So we said the Svara, but the Gemara says, "Oh my God, there's actually a pasuk to support it as well. It says, V'im beklina choshes bushala, v'afilu b'miktas akliyaf. V'im beklina choshes, we learn, even miktas akliyaf." So just to conclude with one ha'ara. So You see from this Gemara that Rav Sheshes was a big bucky in Brises and in Mishnayos. In other words, Rav Sheshes was a bucky. Tosfos in Mesechtes Erevin, Daf Mem Amud Aleph. So Tosfos over there discusses, whenever there's a machlokes, Rav Sheshes and Rav Chisda. Rav Sheshes and Rav Chisda were two of the Gedolei Amayram. They're also Bali Plukta in Shas. So whenever there's a machlokes, Rav Sheshes and Rav Chisda. V'loi itmar hilcha, so loi kemar v'loi kemar. And we don't know, based on the Gemara itself, is the halacha like Rav Sheshes, or is the halacha like Rav Chisda? So who's the halacha like? I mean, we take for granted that today, you want to know what the halacha is, so either you ask your local rabbi, you open up a Shulchan Aruch, or some derivative of that, some handbook. There's 9,000 ways today you can get to the halacha. But once upon a time, the Rishonim used to sit together in Beis Medrash and by Shtenders, and they had to figure out from the sugya who the halacha is like. It wasn't always so simple. So that's why there's so many klolim that you find that the Rishonim and even the Achreinim discuss klolim and halacha. So if you have a machlokes, Rav Sheshes and Rav Chisda, and again, we don't know who the halacha is like. Who should the halacha be? So Tosfos brings Erevin Daf Mem Amud Aleph. He brings from the Ritzbah that the halacha is always going to be like Rav Sheshes. Says the Ritzbah, what's the reason for it? So he said, based on a Gemara, Mesechtes Erevin, Daf Samech Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Rav Chisda v'Rav Sheshes, ki bagi pagi behadadi, when they used to meet each other, Rav Chisda mirsan sifsasem yimasnais Rav Sheshes. Rav Chisda would be afraid to talk to Rav Sheshes, because he knew Rav Sheshes was such a bucky, he never knew what kind of marimukim Rav Sheshes was going to pull out. Rav Chisda was even more afraid. Not only Mirsa Sifsasi, not only did his lips tremble, but Mirsa Kule Gufa, his entire guf would tremble. Mipulpule de Rav Chisda, from the pupil of Rav Chisda. Says Tosfos, what emerges from that Gemara, Erevin, Samech Zayin Amud Aleph, is that Rav Sheshes was a bucky, whereas Rav Chisda was a lamda, or in Gemara terms, Rav Sheshes was a Sinai, and Rav Chisda was an Oikar Harm. Rav Chisda was afraid of the Bekius of Rav Sheshes, whereas Rav Sheshes was afraid of the Charifus of Rav Chisda. So Rav Sheshes was a Sinai, and Rav Chisda was an Oikar Harm. The Gemara says in the end of Masechtes Hayrius, Daf Yudal Amalf, it's literally the Siyam on Masechtes Hayrius. What's Adif, the Sinai or the Oikar Harm? You have two Talmidei Chachamim. One is a tremendous Baki. The other one is a major lamdan. Which one is adif? The Gemara is Poshet Hashem. This is something that yeshiva boys have debated for millennia, but it's a Gemara, really. The Gemara says Sinai adif. The Sinai is adif. So it says the Ritzbah, it's back in the envelope arithmetic. Rav Sheshes was a Sinai. Rav Chisda was an Iker Harim. The Gemara says in Hayrius, Yudal and Amin Aleph, Sinai adif. That's why, whenever there's machlekes, Rav Sheshes or Rav Chisda, the Loch is going to be like Rav Sheshes. Now it's interesting, Tosfos doesn't quote our Gemara, but really it's a Mefurisha Gemara. Yeah, but a Gemara where you see the Sinai, the Bekius, the pilpul of Rav Chisda. I mean, that was the whole Gemara here, where Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda left Rami Bar Chama, he went to Rav Chisda because in Rav Chisda it was all about Bekius. He would always be pushing everything from a Mishnah or a Braisa. Rav Sheshes was the ultimate Sinai. Bottom line is, that's why the halacha is like Rav Sheshes over Rav Chisda. But there's one big kasha that I saw the Achronim ask on this, and that is that when the Gemara discussed Sinai or Oikaharim, which one's Aleph? Who are the Amiram that the Gemara discussed? Rabbi and Rav Yosef. And the Gemara said that Rabbi was an Oikaharim, Rav Yosef was a Sinai. So based on the Ritzvah methodology, it should come out whenever there's machlokes Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the halacha should always be like Rav Yosef. Stating that, the Gemara says in many places that whenever there's a machlokes Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the halacha is like Rabbi, Levar, Misada, Inyan, Umecht. So there's only three times the halacha is like Rav Yosef. It's a freak, the Chavis Yair. We had a Chavis Yair yesterday. Yesterday's Chavis Yair was Simon Tezvav. Today's Chavis Yair is Simon. We've referred to this Chavis Yair before. Chavis Yair is Simon Tzadik Dalet, where he goes through his Piskei Ashas. It's a very, very Yisoidi Simon. Chavis Yair is Simon Tzadik Dalet. It's a great Maramakim. But either way, so says the Chavis Yair, I don't understand, according to the Ritzvah, that the halacha is always going to be like the Sinai over the Oiker Harim. So why isn't the halacha always like Rav Yosef, Keneged Rabba? Why is the halacha like Rabba and only like Rav Yosef? I saw the Inyan Mechza. Says the Ritzvah, could be this Gemara is the Makar to the Rashbam. The Rashbam, Bava Basra Daf Kuf Yudalid, where the Rashbam said that this rule of Hilchas Kirabi Keneged Rav Yosef, Levar Mi Sada Inyan Mechza, only true Bava Basra. All three of those halachas, Sada Inyan Mechza, they're all sugyas in Bava Basra. And the Rashbam said a Chiddish, and the Chavis Yosef said, I found other Rishonim that say the same Chiddish, that it's only in Mesechtes Bava Basra that this is true. outside of Bava Basra, that rule doesn't apply. Why would the Rashbam have said that? It doesn't sound like it. Right? The Yal Kagam, it's limited to... And no, usually there's certain klolim in Shas that are klolim that you're supposed to take throughout Shas. Why would we say that that klal is limited to Bava Basra? Says the Chavis Yar. Now you know the rest of the story. Because really, Rav Yosef was the Sinai, and Rabbi was the Iker Harim, and the Sinai is Adif. And just like the Ritzvah said, Allah HaKadosh is over Rav Chizda, because the Sinai is always Adif. The Allah has to be like Rav Yosef. Either Skamar must be Bava Basra is different. Bava Basra, maybe that's Rabbi's Indian. So when it comes to Bava Basra, there it's going to be different. But Enochanabi, throughout Shas, the Allah is always going to be like Rav Yosef. The Allah is going to be like Rav Yosef, not like Rabbi. Just to end with one interesting observation. So we have two Amayroim that are Sinai. We have Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes. What did Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes have in common? They were both blind. They were both sumen. It's interesting. So Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes, who have in common that they were both sumen, they also have in common that they were both Sinais. What's the pshat? Maybe the pshat is that Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes were very nizer in Shmiras Einayim. Number one, they were blind. But the truth is that they were very nizer in Shmiras Einayim, because if you know the rest of the story, the Ran in Masechtas Kedushin, and it's really a braisa, says that the reason Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes were blind, they made themselves blind. They did it to themselves. After Rav, Chazal say, had 10 chumras that he used to keep. Asori milu de chasidus, that Rav was noyeg. The Rezina Rabbi, the Balat Chelas, wrote a pirish on the Asori milu de chasidus. It's not a brice or a medrash that we have access to. If you want to look it up, you could find it. I mean, the Rezina Rabbi wrote a pirish on it. The Seyda Adairis brings it. The Sefer Apardis brings it. The Rana Masechtas Kedushin alludes to it. But the bottom line is that Rav had these Asori milu de chasidus. The medrash, after it brings, the Asorim Bila Chazida says that when Rav passed away, his Talmidim took upon themselves that they were going to perpetuate the legacy of their Rebbe, and they decided that they're going to keep up these 10 chumras. Now, there was no one Talmud that was able to keep 10 on his own, so the decide was to divvy it up amongst the Talmidim. One of the chumras that Rav was knowing was he never looked outside of his Dalai Lamas. Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes took it upon themselves that they would never look outside of their Dalai Lamas. But it was very hard for them to do. To never look outside of your Dalai Lamas. The Samuei Nayu, they made themselves blind. The Ram brings this. They made themselves blind, and that's why, and that's the rest of the story. That's how they, but the bottom line is that they were very nizer in Shmiras Einayim. Ki Yodua, Inyone, Shmiras Einayim are related to Shikchas, and maybe that's why they had this tremendous koyach of Zikaron. Either way, something to think about.